Good morning, everyone. Would you please turn with me to the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3. We're going to be looking at verses 4 through 15 today as we come close to beginning to wrap up our study with 1 and 2 Thessalonians. And here, Paul is, I would say, notice as we read the word command. The word command appears a number of times in here. And so the whole point here is he's going to use one illustration or one example in real life, but the major point he's saying here is, look, God has given us his word and instructions, and he intends for us to follow them. And then we've talked before, of course, many times over the years, but you know, I think in Protestant Christianity, we can fall into the trap of only focusing on conversion. That we just talk about the moment you're born again, and it's all about being born again, and then once you're born again, all right, we're going to heaven, and then, you know, go to church and stuff, but all right, that's all that really matters, right? And I am in no way saying that doesn't matter. Please don't hear me say that. But Jesus talks almost exclusively about walking with him, following him, obeying him, day after day after day for our entire lives, not to get us saved, but for those who are saved, that this is what we are saved into. We're not just plucked out of damnation and judgment. We are brought into intimate fellowship and relationship with Jesus, and it's an ongoing relationship, right? If you're married, or if someday you do get married, you know, it's all, you know, the wedding planning is so stressful, and that time of engagement, and you're so focused on the wedding, or as a pastor, unfortunately, they're so focused on the reception, the wedding, they usually don't think that much about, but I like to think about the ceremony a lot. But imagine if you like went to your wedding day and were like, yes, the wedding day, whew, and then you never saw each other again. Like if that was just, that was the whole point, was the wedding day. And then the rest you're like, eh, well, whatever, you know. I'm married now, but we don't talk, we don't see each other, we don't interact with each other, we don't listen to each other. Well, it's ridiculous, of course, right? The wedding ceremony begins a life together. And it's similar with being born again. And so in this passage, he's going to talk about and call us to follow, to obey, trust and obey. I admit myself that even using the word obey, I've trouble with. I've trouble saying that. And I think it's because I too am so caught up in we are not saved by obeying. And if we talk too much about obeying, I worry that it feels like works righteousness, that we're good or God loves us or we're saved, born again by obeying, by doing good works. And so, I don't know, I feel within me this like hesitancy to say the word obey, which is why I find it interesting when he so many times in this passage says command as a verb and as the content of what he's taught them, of what Paul has taught them through the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's read this passage. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning in verse 4. We have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing well and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Now, we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor, we worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have the right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. If anyone does not obey what we say in this letter, take note of that person and have nothing to do with him, that he may be ashamed. Do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. This is God's word. Obeying God. Paul starts off by expressing deep and profound confidence in the congregation as a whole, that they are doing God's will. He has confidence, he says, in the Lord about you. So he sees and says, as he said back in 1 Thessalonians also, that what you're doing as a congregation is right and good. Keep doing it. Keep loving one another. Keep telling people about Jesus. Keep looking to follow Jesus with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. Keep it up. His confidence is not in them and their ability, but in the Lord to keep them and sustain them. As Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, he who began a good work in you is faithful and just to bring it to completion in the day of Christ Jesus. God's at work in us. We can't always see that work that he's doing. It doesn't always feel like we're progressing in our relationship and our walk with God. But our confidence is not in what we can see, for we do not walk by sight. We walk by faith and trust that God is at work because he says he is at work in us. That they are doing the will of God, that they are doing the things that Paul commanded them. In other words, that they're obeying all that he taught them and that we have as the scriptures. And then there's a small blessing right here in verse 5. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and the steadfastness of Christ. And so here's part of what they are to do, that they are to draw near to God and know him in his love, that know that God is love more and more and more. You know, it's an interesting thing when we think about what heaven will be like. It says that we will know God, right? And It's not that we are going to learn new characteristics of who God is. Right? We know so much about the character of God. God is love, God is holy, God is just, God is merciful, right? All these, we know these things about who God is. We're not gonna get to heaven and find out, you know, God is purple, right? Or something else that we never knew before. So what's it gonna be like in heaven that we know God more, right? Well, I believe what it is we will, for all eternity, these characteristics of God, this nature of God that we know about, we will spend all eternity delving the depths. And so we know here and now God is love, but we will spend all eternity going deeper and deeper and deeper in understanding and knowing and experiencing God's love. And because God is infinite, I believe that we will never in eternity get to the point where we fully know all there is to know about the love of God, the mercy of God, that we will spend eternity knowing it more and more. Each day will be a deeper experience of the love of God, the mercy of God, the compassion of God. Oh, Maranatha, Lord, come, Lord Jesus, come. Well, then he has an exhortation, has a command for the congregation as a whole. And he speaks to those who are faithful and says, for the faithful to keep from idlers, those who are idle, in verse 6 through 9. Again, now we command you, brothers, keep away from anyone who's walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you receive from us. So this is why I say, I think this is an example that's relevant to the situation going on, but he's speaking in general here also because he says, who will not follow the traditions, not walk according to the tradition that you've received from us. Now that tradition he's talking about is the Word of God. Okay, it's what Paul has taught them as the Word of God. One example of that is to not walk in idleness. Now he's going to go on through verse 9 here and describe this more as people who are not working or who are not willing to work, he says. And so there's a few possible. Oh, did I just knock this off or something? Hello. Good, we're good. All right, my imagination. Sorry. There's a couple things that could be going on here, all right? It could be that you know, some people were lazy. I don't think so. There doesn't seem to be any indication that like, if that were an issue in the church, I think Paul would have spent more time addressing it. He mentions this same word in 1 Thessalonians also, and it's in the context of looking towards Jesus' coming again. And so what I think is, again, this is, you know, the speculation, and it's not just me, it's not original to me, but I think what's going on here is you have these new Christians, and the idea and the expectation, which was all throughout the early church, is that Jesus is coming back like any day now. This is happening really, really fast, okay? And so it seems like, or it's possible that, there are some people who said, well, look, I mean, if Jesus is coming back on Wednesday, I'm not going to work on Monday and Tuesday, right? Like, I get that, right? It'd be tough if we knew Jesus was coming back on Wednesday to say to the kids, well, Monday, you got to do your homework. Be like, no, I don't. No, we're good. Thank you, right? And so I think that that's probably, and we know this from other Christian communities throughout the history of the church, especially when there starts to be this, you know, belief that the second coming is very, very soon. People have stopped working and just sat there on a mountaintop waiting for Jesus to show up. I think that's some of what's going on here. He doesn't use the word, you know, lazy. It's a very different word. He's using idle here. And he's also saying those who are not willing to work. The church has an enormous role to play for those who are not able to work for many different reasons. There's physical limitations. We all at some point in our life get to the point where we are not physically able to do work. That's a very hard stage of life for so many people. The numbers of people who I've heard say, why doesn't the Lord take me? I'm not useful any longer. And that breaks my heart. Absolutely devastates me to hear someone say that. Old cliche is that we are not human doings. We are human beings. We are created in the image of God. Every one of us, as we draw breath, and even in ways after we no longer draw breath, we reflect to the world, to creation, to the stars, back a little glimpse of who God is. Not because we get up and dig ditches or cook meals or clean the house or make business deals or, you know, create wonderful essays, or not even are we, you know, reflecting God's glory because we've shared the gospel with so many people. And those things are all good and fine. But it's not where our value comes from. It's not why God loves us. God loves you because he made you and you are his child. Just like when you hold a little baby who can do nothing, can give nothing, but your heart is bursting with love and joy for this child, so is God with each one of us. There are those who because of physical ailments cannot, because of mental ailments cannot, right? Things like depression can cripple people who otherwise want to be active and want to work. You know, depression is one of those terrible things where it can paralyze you. And it looks like, what's wrong with you? Just get up and work. Just get up and do something. Pull up your bootstraps. I think that is a terrible misunderstanding of depression and other ailments. He's saying those who are not willing to work, who are just checked out on purpose. Well, then in verse 10, he's got a reminder back to the faithful, reminding them to obey the word. Verse 10, for even when we were with you, we gave you this command. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. Remember, here's the commands I gave you. Be about our Father's work as you're able to. Live your life. Don't stop living just because you're a Christian now. If we, I think, mixing up some quotes between Brother Lawrence and Martin Luther here, but you know, if your job is to milk cows to the glory of God. Yes, we can. In any task that we think is so menial, that was a big thing for Brother Lawrence. He would go and you know, pull weeds. He was just thinking about, I'm doing this for Jesus. And making those connections in his daily life. And we're obeying and following what God has commanded us. Then in verses 11 through 13, he gives the command to those who are idle. He commands them not to be. We hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. I think those two verbs there are so interesting. It's a command and he's encouraging. So it's not just, he's not being scornful to these people. There's no hatred here. There's no, it's not giving them shame. It's calling them, calling to the Spirit of God in them. And so they're, I think, similarly with one another, that we can, with humility, with gentleness, we can be calling and encouraging each other in ways of following the Lord. I remember probably, 30 years ago. Michael and I have discovered that we used to remember things from a long time ago, and we'd say, oh, remember 5 years ago? Then it slowly occurred to us that we were saying, remember 10 years ago? That number's now, remember 30 years ago? That number keeps getting bigger for when we're remembering things from a long time ago. It's an interesting realization. Anyways, I remember 30 years ago talking to another Christian, and they were saying about someone, said, oh, I will never forgive that person. Someone had hurt them. You know, I will never forgive that person. And I just remember, again, I was a young punk kid, you know, and just trying to figure out, well, how do I encourage them, but speak truthfully to say, you know, you really need to. Not just because it's like the good thing to do, because Jesus says we need to. That's a challenge for us, but we see that example in Paul here. Finally, in verses 14 and 15, there's a call, as I was just talking about, I guess, more, for the faithful to exhort those who are not following. Take note of that person. Have nothing to do with him. That he may be ashamed. But then verse 15 puts it in such an important context. Do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. This is not, we go around gossiping about people. Can you believe what so-and-so in the church is doing or not doing? This is not where we go and we scornfully talk to other people. But as brothers and sisters, humbly, we encourage, we exhort one another in ways to walk and follow the Lord Jesus. That God takes his word seriously. He means what he says. And he calls us to really live and live lives of growing obedience. Day by day, year by year. So let us take God's commands seriously. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. I ask that you'd help us to read it, study it, meditate on it, memorize it, to obey it, Lord. Help us to encourage each other. That you would be honored and glorified more and more in our midst. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.